all the way across the world. And I love the message. Using a physical need to address the most important thing, the spiritual need. And some of us, we have disabilities or we can't get about and can't do things like we want, but there's a way you can still minister or be a part of the ministry to others. So if you're led, please, the holiday is quickly approaching. It's not about just that day. It's about the mission. Amen. Thank you again if you're just now joining us. Thank you again. My name is KP, and I greet you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior, and the person of the Holy Spirit. And on behalf of myself and the elders of Gateway Community Church, I am so thrilled to see so many are starting to come back to in-person worship. I am blessed. It gives me joy to see you guys. Again, we welcome all of you who are joining us live on Facebook, and we'll be patient with you. But as you are led, we hope to see you sometime in the near future as well. Amen. Now to the purpose and the reason that we are here today. Haven't you noticed how easy it is to argue what we deserve or even what we feel deserves to happen for us or to someone else? That is when it benefits our preferences, when it benefits our agendas or our likings, if you will. Now, when it doesn't, then that becomes another matter altogether. So just as in times past, but soon forgotten, the outcry for justice or against injustice is very loud right now. So today we're going to go back and look at the trial of Jesus. I want you to see how justice was set aside. I mean, this man is betrayed, he's arrested, he's put on trial, he's executed, and get this, all in less than 24 hours. The story of Jesus Christ, one could argue, should have never happened. I would argue, I'm glad it happened. However, it is a story of injustice of the highest kind. I was reading this week, it's even described as a travesty of justice of the greatest proportion. Now, wait a minute, KP. How can you be glad, or how would you argue about being glad something like that happened? It's because of what I believe. I believe that no matter what, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, those who are called according to his purposes. And I believe that's true whether he allows what I think should happen or if they don't go the way I think they should have happened. So yes, even though what happened to Jesus was a mockery of justice, a celebration by many of injustice, I now know that it was all in God's plan. Even before the foundation of the world, as Paul writes to the Ephesians chapter 4, it was a part of God's plan. Jesus did not deserve to be on the receiving end of what happened to him, yet it happened. Now, let me be very clear from the start. This message is not for or against any presidential candidate. It's not for or against any political party. This message is about my God. So if you get anything other than that out of the message, you missed the message. It's about my God. So with that being said, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 19. The first 16 verses, before you look at your neighbor and be like, oh, Lord, we're going to be here all day. No, we're not. I just want you to walk with me back through this trial. We're just going to slow it down a little bit. I won't go through an in-depth explanation of every single verse, but I will slow it down just enough so that we understand what's happening And what's our message for us today? The Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 1 through 16. Again, this is the trial of Jesus as he stands before Pilate, the governor of that day. Reading from the NIV, the Bible reads this way, beginning at verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify. As for me, I find no basis for charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, we have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go," oh, is that the same verse? "You are no friend of Jesus." Verse 13 says, when Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as Stone Pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away. Take him away. Crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. And finally, our verse for today, finally, verse 16 says, finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. And from this trial of injustice, the travesty of justice, I speak to you from the thought, God is undefeated. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to remind us in this hour, an hour with so many emotions racing, God. I pray now that your word will go forth boldly. I pray that you will use me to not just speak to the people, but speak to me as well. Glorify your name in this place. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is undefeated. If you got a chance to watch the preview video, I want to, just in case you did not watch it, I want to tell you why I titled it that. Because one of the popular sayings now is the internet is undefeated. And the reason they say the internet is undefeated because people will take to the internet and they would create memes and other things to joke about the situations that's going on in the world, particularly with our election right now. You see President Trump, the butt of many jokes, or they'll have Biden doing this. They would be these cartoon almost like memes. And they would laugh and they would say the internet is undefeated. And so I thought, God, why not remind the people how you are undefeated, that regardless of all the things that are going on in this world, it is you who is undefeated. Now, I share it with you, this trial should not, by human understanding, should have never taken place. And yet it did. And if the Apostle Peter were here today, he would testify to all of us that he himself felt this way at that time. You see, as I encourage you always to do, go back and read the chapters before and after. In our previous chapter, just moments before where we are in our text, at the beginning of chapter 18, Peter was in the garden when Jesus was betrayed and arrested. Peter's actions showed he believed that Jesus' arrest should not happen. So much so that he drew his sword, the scripture says, and he cut off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. You see, Peter was refusing to accept what was happening. And like Peter, many of us are refusing to accept what's happening. And like Peter, we want to do something, God. We want to react quick. We want to do something about it rather than what scripture calls for, watch and pray. But here's what Jesus says to Peter. He says, put the sword down, Peter. Don't start a war, Peter. Don't fight, Peter. Shall I not drink the cup my Father has given me? In other words, this is God's plan. And from there, the same man that seemingly willing to do anything in that moment to stop what was happening, if you go back and read the text, he would deny that same Lord three times. Surely you were with him. You know the man. I do not. And so Jesus would find himself brought before Pilate in the wee morning hours. And I haven't gotten to 19 yet. We're going to get there. But even before then, he's already standing before Pilate in chapter 18. Standing before Pilate, and Pilate wants to know, why have you brought this man to me so early this morning? And their reply was, if he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him before you. Pilate says, you need to take him to yourselves and you judge him. They acknowledge and they admit that they did not have a right to execute anyone. So Jesus is now standing before Pilate, and Pilate begins to question him. And I need you to understand something. Even if you go back and you read John chapter 18, I want you to make the note. Read Matthew 27 as well, because it gives you some more of the story. It gives you something that happens in between time. In this questioning, Pilate's wife, you will find her in Matthew chapter 27. Pilate's wife has these, she's tormented in her dreams. She comes out and says to her husband, have nothing to do with that righteous man. Have nothing to do with him. He's done no wrong. Don't get yourself caught up into this. Have nothing to do with that. Release that man. I have suffered greatly this night because of that man. And I needed you to understand that, because that's going to help you understand why Pilate begins to do some of the things that he does in our text. But before we get to our text, here's what happens. After the warning from his wife, Pilate thinks he has a good idea. You know, you guys have a custom. You got a custom that it's near past. I can release someone to you. Who you want me to release? You want me to release? I found no basis, no guilt of this man. You want me to release this innocent man? Or what about this known criminal, Barabbas? No, they shouted. Not him, not the innocent one. Give us Barabbas. And the scripture records that he's a robber. And not only is he a robber, you learn from the text in Matthew that he's a murderer. He's equivalent to our day and time, a terrorist, if you will. No, don't give us Jesus, give us him. Pilate thinking, you know, with his wife's warning and everything, surely, because Matthew text reveals they were jealous of him, and that Pilate knew the only reason they had him before him was they were jealous. So Pilate thought, well, maybe if you know what, they got this custom. Maybe they'll drop their jealousy and there'll be a sense of integrity here that they would release the innocent man. No, give us Barabbas. So now, in our first verse here, in 19 is where we will pick up that context. Pilate still, if you go and you read the Gospels, you'll see over, and we're going to see it even in our text today, over and over again, Pilate is looking for ways to release him. Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And I encourage you, go get a biblical encyclopedia or dictionary and look up flogging. We talked about it in our Bible study of Acts. There's this wooden handle that has these leather thong straps off of it that has bone and metal on each leather strap. And they would use this. They would strip the clothes off your back and tie you to a pole, and they would beat you over and over again. And many times the criminal died. And if you didn't die, it would rip flesh so much that you can see the muscle, the bone, the veins, and sometimes even the organs as it rips open the flesh. And that's why when you go back to Isaiah's prophecy, back in Isaiah chapter 52, it says he was marred more than any man. He might not die at that moment, but he was beaten so bad you could not recognize him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And yet over and over again, you're going to see in this text, I could find no basis of guilt. Now, I want to pause right here, and it might upset some of you, but I need to say it. Because, see, many of us, this man knew no sin. Now, we'll defend who we believe is right, regardless of whether we know anything about him. You know, in 16, we thought Hillary was bamboozled. In 2020, we think Trump is being railroaded. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You don't know what's done in secret. When Pilate approached Jesus and asked Jesus, what is it that you've done? Jesus said, ask the people who are accusing me. I've done nothing in secret. I've done nothing at night. I did everything in their person. And whether we like it or not, we say fake news except for our news station. My news station is real. Your news station is fake news. But this, the last time I checked, only scripture is true. Only scripture is true. Here is a man who knew no sin. And yet he is brought here. And their cry is, if he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him here. They have him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And I read that these thorns that would be 2 inches long from the tree that they pulled from. So it would dig into his skull. They would twist it together. See, it's not that they're trying to satisfy the Jews. I believe these soldiers, because Romans, now don't get it twisted. Romans didn't like the Jews, even though they wanted to keep the peace and keep things down. They didn't like the Jews. I looked at these soldiers taking the opportunity to really get at the Jews. You done flogged this man, beat him half to death. And that's what the purpose was for. It served 2 purposes, so that you would experience severe anguish and so that it will hasten your death. Almost like they knew, we're going to kill him. And they would twist these thorns together and put it on his head. They clothed him in purple robe and went up to him again and again. Hail, they're mocking Jesus. Hail, the King of the Jews, and slapping him in his face. And I believe Pilate is attempting to do something because, again, the scripture tells me he wants to release him. He's hoping if I do this and beat him so bad that at least they'll take pity on the man. He's going to bring him out again here in a moment. But we don't respect or even contemplate what Jesus Christ went through for us. If you go look that up like I told you about flogging, and you go look up those thorns, and you look at how Isaiah describes him, even to the point that he says he is nothing for us to look upon. His own mother could not recognize him. This is what is happening in this hour, mocking this man that knew no sin, the greatest travesty of justice ever. Slapping him in his face, other gospels spitting on him. And so Pilate says, he comes out again and says to the Jews, I'm bringing him out to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. Now, isn't that interesting? You find no basis for a charge against him. Flogging you, it was so severe and so bad, no Roman citizen would be subject to this. It was just that bad. They felt like a Roman citizen should not suffer such humiliation. You find no basis for a charge, and yet this is what you allow. And here comes Jesus. He comes out. He's wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to him, here's the man. And I believe he's like, look at him, hoping that they would have some sense of empathy there. May have to go warm the car up, Elaine. Let me step from the story for just a minute. Because we do this same thing with each other. We got to take our opportunities to probe at people, to prod at people, pick at folk. My candidate won, yours didn't, to mock people. Christians. Let me flip the other side. Maybe you are on the other side and your candidate didn't win. You're angry and bitter and you want vengeance. You like Peter, it's not right. Here is Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. He is wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate says, here's the man. And rather, even in this moment of suffering, great anguish, look at their response. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, crucify him. It's not enough. Crucify him. No doubt, Jesus would barely be able to stand in this moment, if he could stand at all. I don't know. The text doesn't tell if they were bearing him up on their arms or whatnot. But I could only imagine when I saw, when I went and read and I looked at how flogging is and what takes place. If he was able to stand, it would be barely. And even in that moment of what looks like punishment, severe punishment or loss, crucify him. Pilate answered, you take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for charge against him. There it is again. The Jewish leaders insisted, we got a law. They're quoting, I think, Leviticus here. We have a law because the charge is blasphemy in Leviticus. You could not have any other God before him, and you could not blaspheme the name of God. And I need you to understand something, those of you who may be watching out here too, because this claim here, he claimed to be the Son of God. He's claiming to be a Son of God in a unique way. I believe all of us who belong to Jesus Christ is sons and daughters of God. But when it says he claims to be the Son of God, they understood in that time that he was making himself equal, that he was making himself of the very nature of God. So they said, we got a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. Now, this is going to scare Pilate. Remember what his wife already told him. His wife already said, don't have nothing to do with that righteous man. Now these people said, this man claims to be the Son of God. So when Pilate hears this, he's even more afraid. And he's afraid not because he believes Jesus is the Son of God, but as a Roman, they believe in many gods. And if at any point this man could be a god in that sense of being able to do miraculous and powerful things, he's now scared. I have just flogged or scourged a god. So now he's scared. And he went back into the palace, and that's why he has to ask Jesus, where do you come from? Jesus says nothing. That's a powerful verse. Jesus gave him no answer. You don't have to always say something. Even if you believe you are right. Do you refuse to speak to me, Pilate said. Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Three times we already read that you find no basis of guilt. Where do you come from? Your wife no warned you that this is a righteous man. You don't need to get yourself caught up into that. They even acknowledge to you, this man claims to be the Son of God. Where do you come from? I got power to set you free or crucify you. And this is what Jesus says, the power you have, it's been given to you. Still showing the sovereignty of God in all of this. As a matter of fact, the person who handed me over to you, it is he the one that needs to be really scared. And I don't believe he's referring to Judas here, even though we know what happened with Judas. I believe he's talking about Caiaphas, the high priest. Because remember, it was Caiaphas says, it's better that one man should die than for the whole people. Not knowing that God was using him to prophesy what would happen to Jesus. You have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one handed over to you is guilty of a greater sin. And the reason they were guilty, Caiaphas, you knew. You experienced. See, Pilate did not experience all the things that Caiaphas, the other religious leaders and the Jews had an opportunity to witness. Remember, they would send people to follow Jesus, and they would see him heal the blind, give sight to the blind, heal the lame, make the lame walk, feed thousands of people, only teach to do what's right, never teaching against the law. That's why their sin is greater. They reject the Messiah that they say they were looking for. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. Still looking for a way. He has the authority and the power to let him go. Looking for a way because he still has the responsibility as a Roman governor to keep the peace. If I let him go, these people are going to have a fit. But the Jewish leaders kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Uh-oh, now they're really trying to make him feel guilty. You are no friend of Caesar. Caesar is his boss, Pilate's boss. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. You know that. There's only one king, and that's Caesar. If you're going, you even had your soldiers march him out here saying, here is the king of the Jews. And anybody who claims to be a king is in opposition of Caesar. And Pilate was scared at the time. Caesar, Tiberius, was the Caesar at this time. He was scared of him. Keep going for me. So when Pilate heard this, the people got in his head. And y'all need to understand this. This is just politics. That's how it happens in politics. People use tactics and things to get their way. Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and set him down on the judge's seat at a place known as Stone Pavement, which is in Aramaic, is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover, and this is why, this would be so heard. Like I said in the beginning, he would die less than 24 hours. I'm getting back to my theme or my topic here in a moment with God is undefeated. It was about noon. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. Keep going for me. But they shouted, take him away. Take him away. Crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priest answered. And right there, I want to pause for a moment. In this moment, these people were looking at their earthly leader rather than their God. And I'm afraid that that is happening right now. We'll spend so much time advocating for our American leader than advocating for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have no king but Caesar. Now, we won't say that. But yet we still advocate more for the presidential seat than we do for a crisis seat in the life of a believer. Now, I'm going to say some things here, and I really just wanted to walk you through that, but I'm going to say some things here in the end that came to mind as I went through this text. But finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. And so the soldiers took charge of Jesus. And most of us sitting in here, most of you watching, you know how the story goes. He's crucified. He's buried. But by the time you get to chapter 20, it says on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene goes to there and she sees that stone is rolled away. And she goes and she tells Peter, and Peter and an unknown disciple run. And when they get there peeping down in the tomb, they see that it's empty, but the linen is still there because he had risen. Now, when I was going through this text, here's a scary thought that came through my mind. Trying to see, God, where we're going with this, where you're taking this. And it can be argued in many ways that Pilate here represents the world and that the Jews here could possibly represent the Christians of today. How so, KP? How in the world could that be possible? Just as Pilate is in a position of judgment, the world sits in judgment of Jesus as well. Jesus, who is judge. Isn't that irony for you? While the Jews, who are supposed to be God's people, look at how they're acting. So I submit to you about the Christians of today, particularly here in the West. In many ways, our behavior is like the Jew in that we claim him, but we act nothing like him. Look at how we're treating one another and speaking to one another simply off of the election. Look what's happening. We are creating a wall in Christ Jesus that was never there and was never supposed to be. You see, in Jesus Christ, the wall between the Jew and Gentile has been destroyed. Only for those who profess his name today to now build another wall, Republican Christian versus Democratic Christian. Stop it. Don't continue to be deceived by who our real enemy is, and that is Satan. Jesus declared that a divided kingdom or nation will not stand. How much more so the body of Christ? Now, I know we can't imagine ourselves being like these indignant Jews, but we are just like them. And here's the scripture that came to heart and mind that really scared me. The writer of Hebrews says this: we crucify him afresh, crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Here's the way the Amplified Bible puts it: they again nail the Son of God on the cross. For as far as they are concerned, they are treating the death of Christ as if they were not saved by it, and are holding him up again to public disgrace. And I tell you, that's what I see today. The way we're acting, God is not pleased. Think about it, not only Gateway, but for those of you who are faithfully tuning in, look at the messages over and over and over again. God wants us to focus on the message of Jesus Christ. Now I understand clearer why Paul says, I claim to know nothing but Jesus Christ crucified. He didn't sit there trying to prove social injustice, political fraud, anything like that. He wasn't trying to make his point. He only wanted people to know about what Jesus Christ did on the cross. So if you must share something, If you must copy and paste something, share the message of the greatest injustice ever done. And show them how God used the greatest injustice and defeated his enemies, because God is undefeated. God is undefeated. You and I have got to accept, and again, I'm not for, this was not for a certain group or against a certain group. I only want us to see that I know that God's will for the believers is that we live peaceful lives, that we seek every opportunity we can to share the message of Jesus Christ. But if we're honest, many of us are doing everything besides that thing. So it doesn't matter. Somebody asked me, this was before the assumed results. Who do you think's going to win? I said, it doesn't matter to me. Not that I didn't vote, because I voted. When my explanation was this. When it's all said and done, I am to be a good citizen. And me and Steve Singleton talked about this week. I am to vote, be a good citizen, try to live and be the best citizen I can be. And my citizen responsibilities, those things I do. I voted. I said, but I am to understand as a Christian, even if it doesn't turn out the way I would want it to, God has an expectation of how I respond to that. And we all need to understand that if anything is done, whether it truly proves to be something of injustice and everything, it did not take God by surprise. The greatest injustice that ever happened, that many of us, we would have been like Peter, we can't stand for this, this should not happen, yet it was in the plan of God the entire time. So now I can say, God, I'm glad it happened. Because I need for you who out there who don't believe like I believe. We didn't finish the story. Well, I finished it. But you need to understand that was God's plan so that you and I can have a relationship with him. That's the most important. Do you guys realize when I leave here today, I have to head over to the hospital with a family who's getting ready to take their loved one off life support. It doesn't matter who the president of the United States, who's going to have that chance come January. That person's life is gone. The doctor says he's gone. It's just a machine. That's what's important. He's not going to see January. He wasn't here to vote. That's what's important. Why don't we focus on who we're supposed to be and let God be God? He says everything that's done in the dark will come to the light. Why don't we trust him in that? But just like these Jews who's supposed to be God's people, well, let's not be like these Jews. Let's represent our God well. Let's not in many ways crucify him afresh again. Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sins so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And no matter what happens in the events of this world, God is undefeated. There is no, see, there's not going to be a second term with God. Nobody's going to take his place. He is undefeated. Nobody. No matter how hard Satan tries. Amen. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word today, God. Thank you for a timely reminder for just us to revisit, God, that you work in all circumstances and situations, regardless of what it looks like. 20 years ago, we thought we weren't going to make it. Here we are. 4 years ago, what the world is coming to an end. Here we are. 2020, here we crying again, God, what in the world? But it did not take you by surprise. I thank you, God, for your plans, for I know your plans are good for those who love you. I pray now, God, that even when we don't understand, that we trust you and that our focus become sharing with this world how your son died on the cross so that they might be free. I thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. As Joey plays softly, as the guys play softly, Joey and Noah play softly, please, please consider. Consider this. I get it. We have our differences. That's fine. But you cannot allow those differences to bring division. You cannot. We have to refuse that. And it's not that we intentionally want to bring division, but we're not being slow to speak. We're not being careful as we talk to one another or even post. I was sharing with a brother this morning that when you think about a house or a family, all it takes is a small crack for things to start getting messed up. And before long, that crack turns into something very big. I still see God trying to show us, especially here at Gateway, but even wherever you are, if you've been following, it has to be a message for you too. If you're going to be that light on the hill, you're going to be that church on the hill, it can't just be on a Sunday. And it can't just be when things go the way you want it to go. We have to show this world we trust our God regardless of how things go. Doesn't mean we sit back and fold our arms and say, let go, let God. We do our part. But the things that we cannot control, it's in his hands. Amen? Won't you stand? The word of God has resonated with you in any type of way. If you come to my left, your right, you can bend and speak to God right where you are. Or maybe you want somebody to come and pray with you. You can come to my right, your left. We have people that are trained as encouragers to come alongside you. Those who are joining us live online, don't let this moment pass you to bow your head right where you are. Even get on your knees. When the last time you've been on your knees? Get on your knees and have a talk with him. The enemy is laughing at the church. Because we'll let little things bring division among us. It's time that we put that to a stop. We got work to do. Won't you come?
Jesus be Jesus in me. Jesus be Jesus in me. No longer me but thee. No longer me but thee. Resurrection power. Resurrection power. Fill me this hour. Fill me this hour. Jesus be Jesus. In me, Jesus be Jesus in me. No longer me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour, Jesus.
One last thing I'm going to pray for us. In Acts chapter 3, Peter speaking to the Jews in Acts chapter 3, he told those Jews back then, You let the Prince of Life, you ask for a murderer in the place of the Prince of Life. Quit advocating for sinful man, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And talk about the one who was sinless. But yet while we were sinners, he died for our sins. So that, look, not that we can become united in the United States, but so that we can become united in him. That's where our unity comes from. Our unity is in him. Father, thank you again for our time together. I pray now, God, that your word find fertile soil, not just in some hearts, but in all of the hearts of these listeners, God. I know everybody's fruit won't bear the same, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, God. I just pray that it will bear fruit this day to your glory. I'm praying for the listeners, not only in this place, but all across that Facebook live feed, Father, that you would minister to their hearts. Bring conviction. I believe it is your Holy Spirit that will convict us of sin. Bring conviction, God, that our eyes might be open and our ears might be allowed to hear what it is that you have said in your word. You took the greatest tragedy of the world and used it for mankind's good. That means, Father, you can take any situation that we're facing, any event, and use it for our good. I pray we trust you in that matter. As we leave this place, I pray your favor and your blessings upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a